place, watch me steal the show. Higher ground, yeah, I'm rising fast. This is my moment, it's built to last. Keep the focus.
Hello everyone, and welcome to the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Show. I'm your host, Rebecca Whitman, helping you go from burned out and overwhelmed to balanced, beautiful, and abundant. Today, we have a very special guest in the studio with us. Welcome to the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Show, Mita Vicky Wise.
Rebecca, thank you so much. I'm really excited to be on today. I love your show, and it's so helpful to many women, so thank you.
Yes, you're so welcome. I'm excited for a great conversation. Let me tell you guys about Mita. She grew up in New Zealand in the indigenous Maori tribe, and she's had extensive travel to India. So she is a citizen of the world. She's a holistic practitioner, empowerment coach, RN, and entrepreneur in LA. She's got a background in hypnotherapy, reflexology, and energy healing. So she is a true healer. She's been on Bold Brave TV podcast and hosted countless virtual summits. I was actually on her virtual summit. That's how we met. And she has her own podcast called 5 Tips in 5 Minutes. So let's get into your origin story. I mean, most people in the personal growth space are not from an indigenous tribe in New Zealand. So how did you get to Los Angeles? How did you go from being in the, is it Maori? Am I saying it right?
Maori, but actually I wasn't in the indigenous tribe. I used to, when we were little, we used to sing the songs and dance the dances of the Maoris, which are the indigenous peoples of New Zealand. So I wasn't actually in the tribe.
You weren't in it, but you participated in their singing and dancing.
Yes. So it was, that was an amazing start. And not only that, not only did I have the influence of the Maoris in New Zealand, but my mother used to always teach me to respect all peoples of the earth. And I think that's a wonderful foundation. She told me that all people are equal, you know, maybe not in circumstances, but in inner value. So I love and I feel so blessed that I have that kind of a foundation in my life. And I can bring that to my work, which I do. So
yes, well, tell us your origin story. I mean, you've come a long way from New Zealand to be an entrepreneur in LA. Tell us a little bit about your journey and how did you get to be doing what you're doing now?
Sure, no problem. So in New Zealand, I was a registered nurse. That was what I was in New Zealand. Then I moved to Australia, became very holistic, lived a very holistic life in meditation centers, etc. Came to the United States, and it was a natural progression to become more of a holistic practitioner. So I trained in hypnotherapy, reflexology, energy therapies, all sorts of different kinds of trainings. You name it, I did it. And so I have all that background. And then currently what I'm doing now is I've sort of taken a lot of those modalities and I've become more of a hypnotherapist and empowerment coach. So I work online with women now using several of those tools in my coaching programs and in my coaching work. So that's how I got here. It was a long sort of a row, but it was a transformational journey of being more in the medical system, the nursing system, living then a holistic lifestyle, becoming a holistic practitioner, and then putting it all together in being an empowerment coach and hypnotherapist.
That's beautiful. So tell us about your holistic lifestyle. I'm all about like wellness and beauty tips. What are you doing now as far as your lifestyle choices?
Sure. So I meditate every day.
Mm-hmm. What kind of meditation do you do?
I actually do a chanting meditation. I go to India every year. I'm part of a community over there. So it's a journey for me. And that's where I received some of these meditations that I do. I love silent meditation. So every once in a while, I'll do a silent meditation, because I think that's a silent meditation is also really valuable if you want to look inside and you want more clarity, and you can just go deeply within sometimes and get that clarity. So I love silent meditation as well. I walk every day. I do a long walk every day. And I think movement, right, is just so important. And I know we hear it all the time, do this, do that, do exercise. But it's so important, these basic kinds of things, right? So I meditate every day.
How long is your walk, or how many steps do you try to walk a day?
I try to do a minimum of 30 minutes is what I try to do every day. I did have a little bit of a knee injury, so I'm just coming back from that. Mm-hmm. But it's healing, and I'm walking again and so happy. And I also practice gratitude every day. I think that's super important.
How do you practice it? Do you write down a list or do it in your head, or how do you practice it?
Well, both of those really. Sometimes I'll write it down, and sometimes I'll just, you know, I might be on a walk even, and I'll just think, oh my gosh, it's so beautiful. Yeah. Really. Look at the beautiful trees, and it's so, you know, I'm so grateful for even what I'm experiencing on a walk, you know, so.
It's just a state of being. And I think that when we find ourselves having negative thoughts, we can just quickly think of something to be grateful for, and it just shifts us back to a high vibe.
Yeah, so exactly. Yeah. And you can do it, you know, when you get into bed at night, you can just briefly go over what you're grateful for the day, or what you're grateful for generally. And it can be any time of the day, right? Anything that you're doing, you can just choose to take a little minute or a couple of minutes to be grateful. And just to notice things around you so that you can be grateful, you know, notice how you are, notice what you have, notice things around you. And that will help you to be grateful.
And it gets you out of your head. I like to say, be where your feet are.
Yes.
It's so in our head that sometimes we forget to be in the present moment.
Yes, exactly. I love that. Be in your feet.
So what else do you do? Like, what is your diet choices? Like, what supplements do you take? Tell me about all that.
Sure. So I do go in and out a little bit with diet, but I cleanse every couple of months, and
wow.
I'm seeing if I can put that through to every month. But I cleanse every 2 months. I have a wonderful thing that I follow from someone online, and it's just extremely helpful. The most thing that it's helpful for, I mean, I do lose some weight on it, but the most thing that it's helpful for is reeling me in. If I've gone a little bit too far with my eating habits, it reels me in to better eating habits, which is the really important thing, right? So, and I love doing the cleanse. It's helpful. My partner does it with me, which of course is super helpful, right?
What is the cleanse? Is it like a juice cleanse, a water cleanse? How many days is it?
It's a 9-day cleanse, which we sort of make into 11 days. And it involves mostly it's just fruit, vegetables, in different forms. And we fast on the last day, liquid fast. The first 3 days we can have a little bit of a regular lunch with certain foods that we can't have, and a regular dinner with certain foods that we can't have. So the first 3 days are a little bit easier, and then it gets harder. But it's delicious recipes, and we're able to stay on it really easily. We really enjoy it. So it's become part of our, you know, what we do.
And you do it every month?
Actually, right now it's every 2 months, but we're considering doing it every month because it's so helpful.
Wow, that's great. Mm. So what else? Are you taking any supplements?
I am. I take spirulina. I've been doing that for a long time. It's super helpful. I notice when I'm not on it. Mm. Spirulina is a whole food, a green whole food, if you're not familiar with it. I take turmeric, which is also, you know, turmeric has anti-inflammatory properties. And so I take that. I take some, you know, the vitamins. I take vitamin C, vitamin B, vitamin D. Those are the main ones that I take.
That's great. And then how much water are you drinking a day?
Well, water's, you know, always a little bit of a challenge for me, but I'm aware of that. So I do push myself sometimes. I would say still not enough, that I go in and out of just having to push myself. And I know everybody a lot of people struggle with that as well. So I just try to, a good way to do that is to look at the top of the hour and just say, okay, I'll have a little bit of water now at the top of every hour or something like that. That's a nice way to sort of, you know, get yourself going and remind yourself to drink extra. That's what I find anyway.
Yeah, those are great tips. And how long have you been with your partner? Is he a romantic partner, a husband? How long?
Yeah, 27 years.
Wow. Can you give us any tips about that, about a long-term relationship? What should we be doing to stay in one for 27 years? That's amazing.
Yes. And by the way, he's a very kind soul, so I'm very blessed.
That's helpful.
It's very helpful. He's very supportive and kind. You know, listening to your partner, there are obviously times of the day. He's a musician. He's a jazz musician, professional jazz.
Oh, nice.
Sometimes he'll come home late at night when I'm in bed and want to talk, talk, talk. And I'll just gently say, you know, can we do this tomorrow? Because I'm almost asleep right now. So timing is a big thing. So, you know, you don't have to put off your partner in the sense of just tell him, yes, I want to hear you, but can we do it tomorrow? You know, so listening, I think listening is a super important one. Hearing what they have to say, you know, they want to be heard just as much as you want to be heard. So I think that's a super important one. Letting them know you care. We're still super affectionate. We hug each other all the time, even after 27 years, you know. I'll give him a big hug in the morning, and, you know, I'll send him some love when he goes out the door, and, you know, just those little things, I think, right, Rebecca, that is so important, you know.
That is lovely. And let's talk a little bit about visualization. I want to go through the meat of it after this next commercial break. But how did you discover, before we go into your technique and how you teach it, how did you discover visualization as a tool?
When I did my hypnotherapy training, because most hypnotherapists will use that kind of a thing in their, you know, in their sessions. So that's where I discovered it. I did training, can't even remember the year. It was way back when, originally with Gil Boyne in Glendale, but then I didn't do much with it. So I redid my training a couple of years later up in Northern California with Randall Churchill. And that was a completely different training again. So I've had lots of different trainings, and I've done advanced training since then. And I think it's just such an amazing tool. And unfortunately, it's gotten a bad rap sometimes. You know, we've seen all sorts of stage hypnotists, and so people get a little bit nervous about what hypnotherapy really is. But hypnotherapy is just such a wonderful tool, and it's using your own imagination to really support you in taking your next best steps and living the life you want to live. It's your own imagination. The hypnotherapist is just there as a guide, and it's totally client-centered, and it feels good. So I love being at the opposite end of a hypnotherapy session. So.
You like being hypnotized?
What was that?
You like being on the other side? You like being hypnotized?
Oh, absolutely. It feels wonderful. And you know, good things are happening, that it's helping you support your future and your present and your future. So, so yes, absolutely. I will take any opportunity to be hypnotized.
When was the last time you were hypnotized?
It's been a while ago, you know, but yes, if there's another opportunity, I'll take it.
That's wonderful. So what should people look for when they're being hypnotized? Like, I know it's about relaxing, or do you have any tips about going under?
Yes. You know, sometimes the first session, people, you know, it's not as... For some people, they get hypnotized really easily. They relax really easily. They're open and they just relax and drop into a deep relaxation easily. And some of us don't. I was like that at the beginning. It took me a while. I didn't realize, oh my gosh, if I want to move my hand, I can. You know, yeah. I don't have to sit frozen like a statue. You know, it's okay if I cough. It's okay. So I make sure I tell my clients this. It's okay. You know, you don't have to sit there like a statue. So that's one thing that I tell my clients, right? Just to help them realize that, you know, it's okay. I can relax a little bit more. The other thing is that I'll do a body relaxation within the session, and that really, really helps a lot. I'll help them slow their breathing a little bit, help them relax their body, different parts of their body, help them relax their mind with a little mind exercise. And then we go into like more of the visualization and different things that we do in hypnotherapy. So those are some of the ways that we can relax in a session.
Amazing. Well, we are going to cut to a quick commercial break. Thank you everyone for listening to the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Show, where we are helping you go from burned out and overwhelmed to balanced, beautiful, and abundant. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everyone, to the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Show. We are talking to holistic empowerment coach Mita Vicky Wye. She is an expert on visualization. Now, I am not the best at visualizing. I feel like it's like, oh, it's hokey. It's too in my head. It never comes true. What's the point? So I am a skeptic, and it has not really been a part of my practice. But I want it to be, like, I know it's the missing piece of my puzzle. Mm-hmm. So what would you tell somebody like me who is a total beginner at visualization?
Well, I don't know if you want me to cover it right now in this sentence, but yeah. First of all, I would tell you different ways to visualize. So imagining something in your head, that's one way to visualize. You need to be visualizing it as if it's already happening in the present, or it's already happened. So let me give you an example. Let's say you want to lose weight. You want to be you can be very creative in your visualizations. I'm just going to give you an example of one, but you can create any kind of visualization you want that imparts what it is that you want. So here's an example. I want to lose weight. I could visualize myself looking in the mirror and having lost that weight and be like, oh my gosh, look how good I look. I can wear these jeans again. I feel so great. I feel healthy. And that's one of the things important about visualization, by the way, is to include emotion in descriptive terms, because the subconscious mind is like a 10-year-old child. It loves repetition. And it loves that emotion and those descriptions. So you really get into it. Oh my gosh, I look so beautiful. Look at these jeans. You know, how great I look and how good I feel. I feel like I could do anything. So it's like right there in the present. It's already happened. Okay. So that's how you want to make sure that you're visualizing. You don't want to be saying to yourself, I will do something or I want to, because that's more of a wish. That's not actually visualizing. You want to be it. It's actually happened. It's here. You're experiencing it. It's amazing. You know, you're loving what you experience, and that's super important, right? So that's one thing, one way you can visualize. And so if you're just doing it in your head, which is a great way, by the way, free, do it at home, right? So you could, by visualizing, you sit somewhere quiet. You want somewhere quiet if possible. This is the best way to do it. Sit somewhere quiet. Get more relaxed, slow your breathing down, sort of figure out what it is where, you know, make sure you have something that you can really focus in, and then really visualize it, just like I said. So that's one way to do it. Another way to do it is you're just doing an activity in the day and you just take a quick minute to visualize what you want as if it's already happened. So maybe you're doing the dishes and you just have put a quick picture in your mind about that, what that image of you, that what that feeling is of you having lost the weight. So you can do it any time of the day. You don't necessarily have to carve out a time, although that's a really good way to do it. Another way to visualize is listen to a recording. Another way to visualize is to write it down and do your own recording.
Listening to a recording, what is that? Like affirmations, or would you want to like do your own recording in your own voice? Like, I'm so happy and grateful I've lost weight. I can fit into my old jeans. I look so good in the mirror. Like, what would listening to a recording be?
You can either go online and listen to something. Of course, there's many online right now. Or even better sometimes is you can create your own recording. And yes, write it down first, write it in very positive, very descriptive, very loving, as if it's happened. I'm just like you said, I'm feeling so good. My jeans, those jeans that I couldn't fit into for so long, I'm in them now. I feel great. I feel like I could take on the world. And I'm noticing that people reacting to this as well. And they're also commenting on how good I look and, you know, different things like that. Whatever pertains to you specifically, what it is that you're looking for. So that's the way that you would write a visualization. Now, you can also do a vision board. We've heard a lot about vision boards, right? Do a vision board, hang it up on your home, look at it all the time. But I just want to tell you that
I to work with vision boards because I've done vision boards before and then I forget all about them. So how do we really work with them to get the maximum results?
You know, the subconscious mind loves repetition. So the more visualization you do, the better it is. The more times you do it in one day, the better it is. The more times you do it in 1 week, the better it is. So consistency is really key. So you need to be doing something every day. You need to be reminding yourself of this visualization. And just remember, sometimes whatever the challenge you are going through, sometimes it's taken you years. You've been years in that challenge, right? So it's not always just an overnight thing or an overweek thing. You need to keep it up for a period of time and just, you know, keep it up and have faith and keep doing it every day, once, twice, three times a day. So if you have a vision board, you want to be looking at that every day and imagining it in your mind as well when you look at it. And you want to be doing that several times, as many times a day as you can, and as many times in a week as you can, and as many times in a month as you can.
And some visions, because I've done vision boards almost every year for the last 20 years, they take a while to come true. I mean, I've been manifesting my dream house for 20 years. I always thought it was going to be in LA, but here I am in my dream house in Cincinnati, Ohio. So you also want to stay open to how the universe delivers.
Yes.
You have the visualization. Can you speak into that, like divine timing and how the universe delivers a visualization?
Yes, there is a timing, and sometimes that timing can be a shorter period than others, and sometimes, like Rebecca said, can take a while. I remember once I was living somewhere else, and I came to do a job on the other side of town, and I was standing up high somewhere looking over this area, thinking, gosh, you know, I'd love to live in this area. And I just sort of looked over, it looked beautiful. And it was a period of time before it actually happened. And it was like 10 years later or 5 years later. I can't remember the exact timing. And I ended up living right down the street. And I did not even remember that wish and that thought, those thoughts that I had until later on. Probably like a few years later, I remembered those thoughts that I had. So, yes, there can be a universal timing. It's not always quick, and yet sometimes it is, and we just don't know. We just don't know what our timing is going to be, but just have faith and just keep doing it as much as you can. Having faith is important. And just
faith is such an important part of manifestation because I feel like we're such an instant microwave society, and we want everything, and we want it 5 minutes ago. And sometimes things don't happen most of the time on our timeline.
Yes. And, you know, and remember again, sometimes how long that habit or whatever it is that you challenge, remember how long it took to develop and it stayed with you. You know, it may just take time for it to undeliver sometimes, to unravel sometimes. And also there's a certain probably universal timing as well. And yes, it's not always delivered quite in the way that we visualize it. So you've got to really just be open and be flexible and just trust that this is coming for you and that it's coming in what you need in the moment.
I heard once that visualization, I think I heard this from Abraham Hicks, it's like directing a movie. You know how they say, like, point of view is outside, the set's morning, the sun is in the sky, this is the temperature, this is the scene and the setting. How many minutes or seconds even do we have to visualize to make it effective? Is there a minimum amount of time that we need to do, or can we just like flash to that scene in our head?
Oh, you can do it however you want. You can flash through it, you know, like I said, when you're doing an activity or through the day, or you can sit down and do a 20-minute one. I think they're all good and all necessary, however you want to do it. Just do it consistently, and consistently is the key, and to have faith. And that's how I can help people as well, because it's easy to go online and listen to a recording, and you can do that, and I think that's great and it's helpful. I think keeping it up and being consistent is something that I can help with, accountability, consistency. And I can also help women deal with things that come up on the way when you're doing your visualizations. There might be other things that come up for you, and I can help you deal with those and move forward.
When you do it, do you piggyback it with your meditation practice, and is it part of the meditation, or do you do it just randomly throughout the day, you personally?
I don't piggyback it with my particular meditation at the time, but you could. You could piggyback it with a silent meditation. I'm just doing it separately right now just because of the way I'm doing my meditation, but definitely, yes, you could piggyback it, no problem. And you can do it any time of the day, and yes, it's very flexible, and what else is flexible is how creative you can be in your visualization. It's your dream, it's your way, it's your mind, and so you want to make it yours and be as creative as you want and really be focused on it, really put in the description of what you really want specifically, and yeah, just make sure it really is specific for you.
My favorite story about visualization is Meghan Markle. When she was a teenager, she sat on the wall in front of Buckingham Palace. And also when she was a little girl, under the age of 10, she would always play princess. And I think she's either the best social climber in the history of mankind and the best visualizer, because she literally went from a house in South Central Los Angeles to being a real princess in England.
Yeah, it's an amazing story, isn't it? And there are some other stories like that too. When you think of people who say, I'm going to be in the Olympics one day, and they get there, you know, so you hear about those stories as well. So yes, just have faith, try it out. You know, one of the things I wanted to mention, Rebecca, is that we have so much noise outside of us, right? We have the media, we have things that are happening around us in the world and in our communities. We have friends and family, co-workers, all this input from the outside world, and it's not outside world, and it's not always conducive to what we want positively, right? So that's why visualization is so important too, so that you can give your mind and your subconscious mind, you can feed it information that you truly want, that's positive and that's going to move you forward in life, so that you're not always listening to that noise out there and taking that in and thinking about it and worrying about it, because worry is almost like a form of negative visualization. You're thinking all the time about something that you don't want, but in a way you're visualizing it. So positive creative visualization is so important, and it really helps keep that noise outside at bay so that you can concentrate on what it is that you really want, and you can show that to your subconscious mind, what you really want.
Well, people manifest their worst fears. Like people who have abandonment anxiety, who I've been in relationships with, they're like, oh, you're going to leave me. You're going to leave me. You're going to find out how terrible I am and you're going to leave me. And it's like, yeah, I am, because you keep telling me I'm going to leave you, and you keep telling yourself I'm going to leave you, and you keep telling the universe. So I really do believe that worry is fear-based visualization. I've heard worry is fear-based meditation, but I really like it's fear-based visualization, or you could even say fear-based meditation. Mm-hmm. So if somebody has a negative loop like that, like all the people I'm in relationship with eventually leave me, could be about anything. I'll never lose a weight. I'll never be rich or whatever. Do you have any techniques for deprogramming that negative belief?
Well, I will still use visualization because I think it's so important to turn that around. But I will also go deeply with you and find out other things that you're doing in your life. We'll go through a whole coaching process, right? And yes, I have some energy techniques. I'm trained in different energy therapies. And so I will use some of those techniques too to really sort of delve deeper on that. But I'll always include visualization as well.
So can you help clear somebody's negative energy if they have negative energy around a certain thing?
It depends, but yes, I work mostly with energy meridian therapies like TAT and EFT and things like that. I also use some chakra work as well. But yes, we'll work on all different areas to see how we can help turn that around and help you take your next best step into positivity and what it is that you really want in life. And also, some people don't have clarity about what they want. So
yes.
I'm definitely here to help you with that, to help you with clarity so that you can take those next best steps forward with clarity.
Well, we are going to cut to a quick commercial break. And when we come back, we are going to talk about how we can rediscover our clarity and confidence. You are watching the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Show, hosted by me, Rebecca Whitman. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Show. We are talking with empowerment coach, visualization expert, Mita Vicky Wise. So, Mita, how do we rediscover our clarity and confidence?
That's a big one, right? Because there's so many people in the world who want to rediscover that or not sure what they want, but sometimes it really is about just clarity and confidence. So again, I'm basically going to go through a bunch of coaching processes with them. I'm going to find out more about you. I'm going to delve into how you work, what you're thinking, what your beliefs are. And I'm going to work with you with energy meridian exercises, like I mentioned, combined with hypnotherapy and visualization. And I love the fact that this is a toolbox that I have. So I can really design and use what I feel is really going to help this person. And I don't just have one thing that I do. I have several different sort of modalities that I can call on so that I can really customize what you need. So confidence and clarity are definitely things that I work with all the time. And I would love to support you on your journey because, you know, there's so many times in our lives when we don't have clarity about what we want. And it's just really a good idea so that we can narrow down what it is that you want in your life, narrow down your priorities, really delve within so that we can see what it is that maybe you're holding on the back burner that you're not really necessarily even bringing to the front for whatever reason that is, with maybe this fear or whatever it is, if whatever reason it is that you're not being fully yourself and you're holding these wants and dreams back. And so the other thing is just using centering processes, because if I'm using centering processes and I'm really helping bring you back to yourself, that in itself can help bring clarity and confidence, and will build your confidence up week by week. So there's many different ways that I use to support you in this journey of clarity and confidence.
I feel like so many women are acculturated to be people pleasers, and we're so used to seeing our reflection in the eyes of those around us, our family, friends, society, lovers, children, employers, that we have forgot to access who we are and what we really want. So I can see that hypnotherapy and visualization would be a great tool to kind of strip away all these layers of people pleasing to figure out exactly what we want.
Yes. And, you know, we have often a lot of barriers and things. So one of the things that hypnotherapy helps with is that it sort of just gives the conscious mind a little vacation for a while and accesses more of your subconscious mind, which is really, you know, your heart and all the things that you want and different things. So that's the other good thing about hypnotherapy. Allows your conscious mind that has all the objections and, you know, the reasoning and the logics of everything.
The what-ifs and the why-nots.
The what-ifs, exactly, and the why-nots, exactly. And being allowed to really access, you know, you on a deeper level. And that's why it's great.
So how do we really reignite our passion for life? Because I feel like we are in some crazy times and anxiety, depression. People are very disillusioned. They feel hopeless. How can we reignite our passion and excitement for life?
Well, one of the things I would say is something that we hear about all the time, but I always mention it, and that's making sure that you do the foundations of life and some of the foundations, movement, walking every day, being in nature. Being in nature is such a healer. And if you're in nature and you can be silent in nature for a moment, that's healing unto itself. So being in nature, movement, diet, sleep, all of these basic things to start off with, right? And just really paying attention to them, water, drinking, hydration. And if one of them is off balance, just to finally take notice of it, because we hear it all the time, but we don't always act on it, right? So just finally take notice of all the basic things for a good start. And then the next thing is to try to take at least one thing of what we mentioned today. So it could be silent meditation. Mm-hmm. It could be the visualization, which I think is super important because it is really a power of visualization. It could be some centering exercises or just a form of the visualization, like a recording or something else. But all of these things are going to help bring you back to you. And, you know, you can also do some writing exercises, what it is that I really want, and just see what comes up. Just don't judge it. Write down whatever comes to mind about what it is you really want. There's many different exercises, and I do some of those kinds of exercises in my work. But take at least one thing and follow it through for, you know, 30 days or so, and just keep doing these things so that you can come back to yourself and make the decisions in life that you really want to make.
What is the story that you could share with us of someone who had lost their way and lost their passion and purpose that realigned back to their passion and purpose and had a huge shift?
Well, I can actually talk about myself. I have a great story about that. Is that okay?
I would love to hear about you.
I came to the United States to come to a meditation event. Didn't have a lot of money on me at that time. This is many, many, many years ago. And so I was a part of the meditation things, but then felt like I had a plane to go back to Australia. Felt like I had such a strong feeling that I had to stay in the United States. So I just got off the plane when it had a layover in Los Angeles. I had $200 in my pocket and I knew nobody. And I was this little girl from Australia who'd been living in Australia, but from New Zealand, who'd been living on meditation centers. Had no idea how to survive in a big city.
How old were you when you made that decision?
Oh my gosh, I was in my late 20s.
Wow.
So I crashed for a while. I really did. I really had no clue how to survive in a big city like Los Angeles.
Where did you stay?
I was homeless for a period of time, and then some other times I stayed with friends. So it was a really hard period for me. And so one of the ways that I was able to pull myself up, one of the things, you know, is reaching out for help. When you need help, reach out. You know, when you're in a crisis, reach out. Sometimes you need to do that. Sometimes you can work it out on your own. Sometimes you need to reach out. So one of the things I did do was reach out. And I did get some help, actually, just from a friend of mine. We were able to stay together and actually bring both of us up for a while. So that's the first thing I suggest is if you need help, reach out. And then the other thing was just to start a little meditation again at some point and to really start to have faith in a life again that I could have. And that's where faith comes in again, and just trying to be a little bit positive about, yes, I can do this. You know, yes, I can recover from this. Yes, I can take the next step forward. And sometimes it's only a little step. I mean, I'm often a baby stepper. There are some people who make big leaps, right?
In front of leaps, right?
Yes, some people can make those quantum leaps, and there are other people who can just take baby steps, and I was always that, just a little baby step. So if that's all you can do today, just take a little baby step. That's going to help. It's not wasted at all, and just keep looking to see what baby steps you can take, and that's what I did to recover.
As long as you're stepping toward your dreams and ambitions, whether it's a quantum leap or a baby step, it really doesn't matter because you're eventually going to get there. And it's about loving the journey and loving the process and loving everything that you're learning along the way.
Yep. And loving yourself as much as you can and forgiving yourself, you know, when you need to. And, you know, sometimes the road forward is not always a straight line. Sometimes it goes to the
side. Straight line.
A little step back and it goes forward. So it can be like zigzaggy and you just got to be aware that it's not just always a straight line up. Okay.
I don't think it ever is. Growth is like 5 steps forward, 1 step back, 3 steps forward, 2 steps back. And it's just, if you expect it to be a straight line, you're going to be very upset a lot of the time.
Right.
Not like that. So how do we manifest? I mean, manifestation is a big buzzword these days. If we want something, what do we do to manifest it step by step? Once we're clear on our purpose and we have our confidence and our passion back, and we know what we want, we're very specific, how do we manifest it?
Well, I think visualization plus action.
Okay.
You want to take the action steps. I think visualization is super important, and I think, you know, it's underrated and underused. So I think you want to visualize combined with action. So you visualize, you get clear about what you want, you visualize specifically what you want, and you take some action. You figure out, like, what do I need to do to get to this goal? What do you, you know, what steps do I need to take? And you take them. And whether it's a baby step or a big leap, that's fine, wherever you're at. But you take the action. There is some action needed as well, right, to manifest what it is that we want. And to bring.
We can't just sit at home and visualize all day.
No, although a lot of visualization is good, but no, there's also action, you know, required usually to bring that forth and to call it forth and to put it, to actually bring it forth.
And is action more often uncomfortable or comfortable in your experience?
It's often uncomfortable, but it also can be comfortable too. In places, you know, in my hypnotherapy sessions, at the end of the session, I will always ask the patient when they're in hypnosis to just really visualize that the next few days, the next weeks are going to be, more effortless than you expected. And I have them expect that it's going to be an easier flow than they expected, that there's going to be surprises, amazing surprises, that there's going to be opportunities. And I'm always putting this into my hypnotherapy sessions because I want people to not be put off thinking that everything's going to be so hard that I'm not going to be able to do it. So I help them with suggestions about, not that it's just going to be all easy, but that perhaps it's not as hard as they thought it was going to be. So I think putting that in and envisioning that for yourself and realizing that, yes, you know, action can be uncomfortable, but it's not always as uncomfortable as you might worry that it could be.
I think that's great because a lot of people, when they start a business or a new relationship or a new project, they're like, oh, I'm starting at the very beginning and I can see the top of the mountain, but I just don't know if I have the stamina or the grit or the fortitude to make it to the top, and they expect the journey to be so hard. What if you expected the journey to be in flow and easy? Like, not that it's going to be easy. I don't want to give anyone false expectations, but that it was enjoyable and yes, flow. I think, what is the difference between being in flow versus something being easy in your
brain? That's exactly that. It's more in flow. So you're not like the struggling every day type yes, energy, right? That it's more in flow. And yes, you'll still have action. Maybe you'll still have uncomfortable things to do, but it's more in flow. And the flow is super, super important, I think. And that you feel like you're moving in the right direction. And that's part of the flow, being aligned, feeling that you're moving in the right direction. And then that that better flow can happen.
What if you had a billboard and you could only have one quote on the billboard to share your teachings with humanity? What would your one quote be?
Actually, I have a couple, but I have one here that I can share with you. Would you like me to share it with you?
Yes, I would love to hear it.
It's by John Wesley, and the quote is, "Do all the good you can by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can." And I'm including this one particularly because you could also pop visualization in there. You could do all the visualization you can by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, all the times you can, etc. So that's why I included particularly this quote today.
Beautiful. Well, this was so great to hear your teachings on visualization. I know my listeners will want to stay in touch. Where can people find you?
I'm at thepurposedprogram.com. That's with a D, thepurposedprogram.com, for regular, general, and for professional, I'm at thepurposedwoman.com.
Lovely. And are you on social?
Oh, I am. I'm Facebook, facebook.com/mita.wise, W-I-S-E, and it's M-I-T-T-A dot W-I-S-E.
How perfect that your last name is Wise, and you're so wise.
Well, we hope so. We hope we live up to the name.
Well, the name is very fitting. Thank you so much, Mita, for being on the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant show. And thank you, everyone, for listening. Please share this episode with your friends and family. This is a grassroots movement teaching people around the world that you can achieve happiness and success through aligning your life, not just through the hustle and grind. Thank you for being a devoted listener. I'm so grateful for all the success of the show and all the people listening. Keep those testimonials pouring in. And until we meet again, keep your vibe high and magnetized. Bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone. Yeah, this is